We began our Advent journey 4 weeks ago by watching. Right? We watched closely our relationship with the Lord, the state of our soul, the rhythm of our life to see where God wanted to enter, where we desperately needed His transforming power. So we watched ourselves and we watched our merciful God, where He wants to meet us. And then what? In the second week, we waited. Right? Something we still hate to do, right? Waiting. But in that waiting is the growth in understanding, the growth in that blessed virtue of patience, of letting our desires expand a little bit and conform themselves to what God wants for us instead of just maybe the puny little passing fancies that we may have. And that led us into the third week, where after watching our relationship with the Lord and where it needed to improve, waiting for His timing and learning to conform ourselves to His will, what came next? Wanting. To want. To dare to want more than this whole world has to offer. To dare to want heaven itself, communion with the Lord. To imagine that blessed destiny that He has for us if we choose to accept it. We dared to want this so that then we can work toward accepting it. Because we're free to deny it too. We're free to say no, thank you. So we've watched, we've waited, we've wanted, and now is the time to welcome. To welcome in the Lord, but I warn you, the Lord comes in like a wrecking ball. By that I mean He comes in as an infant. Right? And there's this telling difference of when somebody who's never had kids hears that someone's pregnant for the first time and someone who's had kids hears that someone's pregnant for the first time. Anybody who's had kids gets this smirk on their face like, you have no idea what's about to happen. I'm excited for you, but whoo, strap yourself in. Because a child is an adventure. It changes everything. It's a blessed disruption to the normal rhythm that we may have had before. And that's exactly what the Christ child is for us. He doesn't come just to be able to say like, yes, your mediocre way of living, perfectly fine. I'm just going to go over here. No, He comes in to say, I want to shake things up. I want to bring you to a place that is greater than what you've ever imagined or dreamed for yourself. I want to give you communion with myself, and that entails all of the excitement that Joseph and Mary had, all of the excitement of the prophets of Israel, all of the excitements of the saints throughout the centuries. That's what He wants. And so this weekend, we focus on Joseph and Mary. First, Mary, we get her, this beautiful scene in the gospel today of when the angel Gabriel came to Mary. And what was her reaction? Coming to her, He said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at what was said and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. In her great humility, she was in the presence of something so awe-inspiring, she was greatly troubled, saying, "Full of grace, me? The Lord is with me? Who am I?" She was fearful. Right, because whenever an angel appeared, it wasn't this chubby little angel baby from the Hallmark cards. Like, no, this was an awe-inspiring sight of blinding light. She's fearful. And there, what a consolation we have. Because any time that we're on the precipice of something great, like our life's vocation, a big change in our lives, God calling us to maybe have a deeper conversion, to shift something in our lives, maybe do away with a big bad habit, we're scared. We're scared, like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this. This is beyond me. I feel so weak. I feel so little. And you feel like Mary. She is our model in that, of being honest with what we feel. Having all those emotions of maybe fear and trepidation, but not running away. Instead saying, okay, I'm scared, but I'm here. More than I'm scared, I'm trusting that if you're calling me to it, you can make it happen. And so he explains to her, he says, "Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus." He continues to describe who this Jesus will be, that it's going to be God among us. And she says, how can this be, since I have no relations with a man? Right? In the Greek, it actually says, how will this be? So she's not even doubting that it's going to happen. She's just saying, how's it going to happen? Because it's not going to be the natural way. And so already she intuits this is something special. This is going to be something miraculous. She realizes this is going to be something that God has to do. I will cooperate, but it's not my project. It's me participating in his project. And then the most consoling part of it all is that the angel Gabriel tells her how it can happen. He says, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." Friends, that's happened to all of us. The Holy Spirit comes down at every single Mass, but so profoundly at that moment of our baptism. The Holy Spirit made his stable residence our very souls. By the same power that got Mary to be able to participate in that unique way in the plan of God, it's the exact same power we have access to participate in our own unique way. But we may still say, you know what, Mary, she's in her own category there. That's why I thank God that Pope Francis announced this as the year of St. Joseph, starting just 2 weeks ago. We are in the midst of the year of St. Joseph, which is a time that the whole church is to reflect on this great figure, Joseph. How did he welcome Christ? Well, Joseph, I think, is a great model for us. Because he wasn't here at this first scene. He had to have his first welcoming of Christ be totally on trust and faith. Of Mary saying, yeah, this is what happened. Then the angel came to him and consoled him, but never did Joseph get the full plan. He didn't see the whole picture. He just got the next step. And yet he's our model. Because being the only imperfect member of the Holy Family, right? The only one born with original sin, he was still called to be a leader, something beyond him. And yet, because he was a humble man who trusted in the power of God working through him, he followed obediently the directions of God every step of the way. So you could just imagine a young man, Joseph, he has his life planned ahead of him. He's betrothed to the most beautiful woman in Nazareth. And then a divine wrench gets thrown into his human plan. A baby, unexpected, not of him, but of the Lord. In humble trust, he says, okay, this is beyond me, but okay, I'll participate in your work, Lord. And then it seems like everything's going to be smooth sailing, but no. His betrothed wants to, out of the great charity in her heart, go to a different region to help her cousin Elizabeth through her pregnancy. And so they go. Immediately, they're in movement. Following God's will wherever it will lead. They go from Nazareth to the hills, to the hill country where Elizabeth was. Then they come back to Nazareth, and then once again they're uprooted. Something beyond his control. He has to move his family right when his wife is about to give birth to Bethlehem for a census. Now, he could have just dug his heels in and said, no, the emperor doesn't understand. This is just a terrible time for me. I can't believe Caesar is making us do this. No, instead he just says, okay, God, I didn't expect this, but I know that you'll get us through this. And so he goes. And then when they get to Bethlehem, there's no place in the inn. Now, I don't know how many of you have felt that way, that you had one job and you couldn't fulfill it, that you wanted to provide and you just didn't seem to have enough. Everything seemed to be working against you and you just felt powerless and overwhelmed. Welcome to Joseph's Christmas. And yet, instead of giving up, instead of saying, I'm not fit for this, God, I can't do this, he persevered, he moved forward. There's no place in the inn, can we have a stable? And he provided for a beautiful, even if not as planned, Christmas. But then it wasn't all peace and calm. No, immediately after that, he has to move the family to Egypt, to an unknown land where he doesn't have connections. But he goes. Because even though Joseph didn't see the whole plan, he knew that his role was to just take each step as God has illuminated it. So he took the family to Egypt. And then when the time was right, brought them back to Nazareth. And then raised his son, his foster son that he knew was truly the Son of God. Cared for his wife. And in so doing, became the holiest man. The holiest of men. In the most humble of circumstances. His life became an adventure. The moment that he said, I'm going to let God control it. The moment that he welcomed that Christ child and said, I know everything's going to be different, but I can trust in Jesus. I can trust in God, my Father. I can trust in the Holy Spirit that overshadowed Mary and that guides me as well. Now, one of the reasons why I really wanted to focus on Joseph this week is because he's a man. Right? And no offense to women, but we really need more holy men. Right? Because for the last 50 or so years, we've been treating a lot of the faith as feminine. Effeminate. I mean, you could see at most parish gatherings and things like that. Here we're a bit better, but there are some parishes where you cannot find a Y chromosome anywhere. Right? It is just purely a woman's thing to do. St. Joseph shows us absolutely not. The faith is for every single person with a beating heart. Right? It is the manliest and the womanliest thing that anybody could do because it's the most human thing that we could ever experience. We need more men like St. Joseph. This is particularly close to my heart this week. Because this week we're going to have the funeral. The funerals of two good men. Right? Imperfect men, just like Joseph. Right? They would actually proclaim their imperfections. They would be the first thing that they would tell you about themselves. And yet they were faithful. They were willing to step into that breach. To really work toward spreading the faith in this world. Whatever way they could. Every parish needs men and women like that. So I pray, who are the men who are going to step into that void that's left? I thank God for the men of this parish. But I pray that he raise up even more. That here we can be a parish of people who welcome Jesus into their lives as profoundly as Joseph and Mary did. And who allow him to direct their lives. In an adventure just as profound and just as beautiful as that of Joseph and Mary. Friends, over these 4 weeks, we've watched. We've watched closely where we need the Lord. We've watched as he wants to come and transform different parts of our life. We've waited. Right? We've tried to acquire that virtue of patience to be able to grow our desires so that finally we could want. We could want more than just mediocrity, that we could want true holiness and then a blessed eternity in heaven. Now, the question is this Christmas, will we welcome? Will we have the courage to welcome Jesus into our lives with all that that means, with the shakeup that that entails? Will we welcome him who wants to lead us onto an adventure just as magnificent as the adventure that Joseph and Mary experienced?